Hi, my name is Mary South, and I am a urogynecologist. Taking care of girl problems is the easiest way to describe what I do for a living. More specifically, I treat women with pelvic floor problems like urinary incontinence, pelvic organ prolapse, pelvic pain, and recurrent urinary tract infections, just to name a few. Many women are affected by these conditions, yet few women are comfortable talking about them. Throughout this series of podcasts, I am going to pick specific conditions or topics to discuss. I will describe the symptoms, the workup, and the treatment. Rather than interviewing other experts in the field, you will listen to patients in my medical practice talk about their experiences with pelvic floor issues. You will hear from real women with real girl problems. In this podcast, we are going to discuss pelvic organ prolapse. Your first question might be, what in the heck is pelvic organ prolapse? You wouldn't be alone. Many women who find themselves with this condition had no idea it was even possible to have your pelvic organs prolapse. First off, let's start with the medical definition. According to the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, pelvic organ prolapse is a disorder in which one or more pelvic organs drop from their normal position. In this case, pelvic organs refer to the uterus and the walls of the vagina that overlie the bladder and the rectum and the small bowels. Prolapse is caused by injury to the muscles or tissues that support the uterus and vaginal walls. The leading cause of this injury is pregnancy and childbirth, especially vaginal delivery. You might have heard a woman say, "My bladder has dropped." Generally speaking, she is referring to vaginal prolapse. Urogynecologists divide the vagina into three compartments: the anterior compartment, the posterior compartment, and the apical compartment. The anterior compartment, or the front wall of the vagina, is the portion of the vagina overlying the bladder. When the bladder drops, that is usually due to an injury to the strong connective tissue of the vaginal wall. When the connective tissue is damaged, the bladder will sag or bulge down into the vagina. You may have heard a dropped bladder referred to as a cystocele. The proper medical term is anterior vaginal wall prolapse. The posterior compartment, or back wall of the vagina, is the portion of the vagina overlying the rectum. When the connective tissue between the vagina and rectum is injured or stretched, a pouch of the rectum will bulge into the vagina. This is often called a rectocele, or posterior vaginal wall prolapse. Just think about a baby's head, the size of a bowling ball, a small bowling ball, going through the vaginal canal. Things stretch and tear, particularly in the back wall of the vagina. Many women who have had vaginal births can remember their OBGYN having to do repairs after delivery. Obstetricians don't routinely do episiotomies anymore. An episiotomy is when the vagina is purposely cut to allow room for the baby's head to get through. However, plenty of women tear naturally, requiring this area to be repaired with suture after giving birth. This is probably most common when a woman is giving birth to her first child. Finally, the apical compartment, or top of the vagina, is where the uterus and cervix are located. Or if a woman has had a hysterectomy, this area is called the vaginal cuff. When the uterus is dropping, that is called uterine prolapse. When the uterus is absent, we call this vaginal vault prolapse after hysterectomy. At the end of the day, prolapse is essentially a herniation due to stretching or tearing of the strong connective tissue in the vaginal walls. Rarely would a woman be able to determine which compartment is prolapsing without an exam by a urogynecologist or a practitioner who specializes in this field. So what exactly do women experience when they have prolapse? What are the symptoms? All right, so just tell me a little bit about how you started noticing your symptoms and how your symptoms progressed throughout the day.
Well, first I noticed a feeling of pressure down there and almost like a burning. I kind of thought maybe I had a urinary tract infection. And as it just continued and didn't go away, I actually touched myself down there and felt a bulging in my vagina. And so I went online and looked up and saw that it was, I was guessing that it was probably a prolapsed uterus. And so the symptoms started to get worse. I especially noticed at the end of my work day, feeling more pressure, more uncomfortable.
Commonly, women notice a vaginal bulge or something coming out of the vagina. They often experience vaginal pressure or fullness, or a feeling like one is sitting on an egg. I apparently have many tennis players in my medical practice because I often hear it described as a tennis ball, as in this patient's case.
All right, so tell me what bothers you the most about the prolapse. What does it feel like when it's hanging down?
It feels like I have a tennis ball in my vagina, right? It's like that kind of dry, rubby, uncomfortable pressure, not quite pain, but uncomfortable feeling.
Okay.
Or this woman.
Okay, so what would you say bothers you the most about the prolapse, or how does it feel?
Feels like I'm walking with a tennis ball between my legs.
Prolapse doesn't usually hurt, but I have many women tell me that they have lower back discomfort, and they relate that discomfort to the pulling and pressure in their vagina. Hear this woman describe her symptoms of prolapse.
All right, so tell me what it is about your prolapse that bothers you the most.
As far as the uterus is concerned, I started feeling a lot more pressure in my vagina. I'm a runner. I could start to feel it like while I'm running. Just sort of felt like something was sitting in there. It makes me very uncomfortable.
Significant prolapse can also make urinating difficult. Some women do not effectively empty their bladders because of the blockage the prolapse creates.
What would you say is the number one thing that bothers you about the prolapse?
Just feeling the bulge there that does not feel normal, and I'm sure it helps plug it up a little bit from eliminating.
Because you're having trouble.
I don't have pain. I have no pain or anything. And if I drink enough, I definitely urinate enough. But when I go to the bathroom, then I wipe myself, and then I stand up, and then I still drip a little bit. So I'm thinking that that's holding a little bit in.
The prolapse.
I have to wipe myself again, yes.
Women with posterior vaginal wall prolapse sometimes have stool trapping and feel like they can't empty entirely with bowel movements. What happens with stool trapping is that the end of the rectum is bulging up into the vagina, and as stool comes down into the rectum, it will get stuck in the pouch we call the rectocele. Some women will even press inside their vagina or on their perineal body with their fingers to help empty during bowel movements. This is called splinting. To diagnose prolapse, it is necessary to have a physician or a nurse practitioner specializing in urogynecology perform a pelvic exam. I commonly hear patients state that they noticed the bulge and they were worried they had a tumor in their vagina. Vaginal and uterine cancer only rarely, if ever, presents with a vaginal bulge. The more likely diagnosis would be prolapse in that situation. When I examine a patient with prolapse, I stage the prolapse to determine the extent of their condition. Prolapse is staged from 0 through stage 4. Stage 0 is no prolapse, and stage 4 is complete prolapse, with the vagina and the uterus, if present, hanging completely outside the opening of the vagina. The staging process is really just part of the pelvic exam and does not take much time. As a matter of fact, most patients are surprised how brief the exam is and how quickly a diagnosis can be made. Some patients come to me very worried that their uterus will go so far out that it might actually fall out of them. I reassure them that will never happen. It might hang entirely outside the vagina, but it will never pop off and hit the floor, for example. Here is a comment from a woman with that very concern.
It's just making me more cautious of things I'm supposed to do, even though I don't think anything will happen. But I think it's more of a mental thing now.
Yeah.
Like a real mental thing.
Meaning you're worried about doing your regular activities because you're worried you don't feel secure, like it's going to pop out or something.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think it's just fall out. That's what I have in my head.
You're not the only woman that's ever said that to me.
Most women present to me with stage 2 prolapse. That is when most women start to notice the symptoms of a vaginal bulge, and at this stage, the leading edge of the prolapse, whether it be anterior, posterior, or apical, is just starting to protrude to the opening of the vagina or just beyond. With stage 2 prolapse, sometimes women can push it back up, or they notice that after long periods of standing, or at the end of the day, it is worse, but when they lay down, the prolapse goes back in. Prolapse can also affect a woman's body image. Many studies in our literature have demonstrated the impact prolapse can have on a woman's feelings about her own body. I have personally had many of my patients tell me how the prolapse makes them feel and how it impacts their body image.
Or what is bothering you the most about the prolapse that you have?
It's it looks and...
That's okay. There's no wrong answer.
It's looks and just... it's a mental effect on me.
Yeah.
Because prolapse can affect a woman's body image, she may avoid intimacy with her partner because she is self-conscious about the prolapse and how it might look or feel to her partner. She may also be concerned that sex may hurt her or her partner is worried about hurting her. However, there is no reason to avoid intercourse because of prolapse. Given that gravity is the problem here, prolapse usually is less apparent or absent when a woman is lying down. If you never told your partner or your partner didn't know, they would unlikely notice during intimacy, unless the prolapse was very extreme. Nevertheless, even the most amorous women avoid sex because of prolapse, as in this woman's case.
I usually have like an incredibly high sex drive. It has made that go down because I just feel weird about my body.
Yeah, so you feel like it's impacted your body image?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
The question is, once the diagnosis has been made, what do we do about it? Prolapse is not a life-threatening condition. Only in severe cases of prolapse does it absolutely require treatment. Prolapse can be treated surgically and non-surgically. Some people talk about the benefits of pelvic floor physical therapy or Kegel exercises to treat prolapse. My feeling is that this may help prevent prolapse more than fixing it, kind of like closing the stable after the horse is already bolted. Probably not very useful. If women want to avoid surgery, the use of a vaginal pessary is an option. A vaginal pessary is a silicone device that comes in a multitude of shapes and sizes. If you have ever used or seen a diaphragm for contraception, a pessary is similar. Basically, the pessary is sized to fit a patient and it is placed in the vagina to hold up the anterior vaginal wall and the uterus or top of the vagina. Pessaries are usually not very helpful for posterior vaginal wall prolapse. Pessaries are reasonable options for helping control prolapse symptoms, but it is not a cure. Pessary needs to come out for regular cleanings. If a woman cannot do this on her own, she has to come back into the office every few months for her doctor or nurse practitioner to do this for her. And pessaries are not without some side effects. They often cause an unpleasant smelling vaginal discharge if they are not taken out and cleaned regularly. Also, if they are left in all the time, they can cause abrasions to the vaginal wall. All in all, pessaries can be a good option for women who want to avoid surgery. Hear this woman describe her experience using a pessary.
All right, can you just tell me a little bit about your experience with the pessary? Like, how has it worked for you?
Well, the pessary, I don't really notice that it's in, so it's been a comfortable transition. And it reminds me of when I was using a diaphragm, the same sort of application to that. So I'm comfortable with it.
And are you able to take the pessary in and out yourself? And what do you usually do? What's your pattern?
Pattern, meaning how often?
Yeah.
Okay. When I first got the pessary, When I was first with the pessary, I would pull it out and rinse it and usually remove it when I had a bowel movement because I just felt like it was sort of in the way. Mm-hmm. But really, over time, I haven't felt that lately. So I've been leaving it in quite often lately.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Surgical repair is the next option for treating prolapse. There are many options for repairing prolapse, ranging from less invasive to more invasive. I'm going to plan a whole other podcast on surgical possibilities alone. I tend to do vaginal native tissue repairs and avoid mesh in my practice, but there are ways to repair prolapse laparoscopically, robotically, or through open abdominal incisions. The most common surgery I perform for uterine prolapse is a vaginal hysterectomy with a suture suspension procedure. However, not all women require hysterectomy for prolapse. If a woman is not and never plans to be sexually active again, we can perform a procedure where we surgically return the uterus to the vagina and partially close the opening of the vagina. This is an excellent option for some women, but clearly not for all. Many times, I will take a woman to the OR just to fix a rectocele. My patients can have their repair and go home the same day, even if they have had a hysterectomy. I usually counsel my patients that they will feel 60% back to normal by the end of the first week after surgery, depending on what repairs were performed, and 95% improved by 6 weeks. Most women can return to their regular activities reasonably quickly. More recent data suggests that women who return to their everyday activities sooner actually do better. I hope this podcast provided helpful information. My goal with these podcasts is to educate and help women with their expectations when seeing their doctor with these pelvic health issues. I also want my patients and women in general to know that they are not alone. So many women tell me the same thing over and over again. Stay tuned for more podcasts on other pelvic floor health topics soon. If you have more questions, please feel free to reach out to me or your local urogynecologist to find the answers you need. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook. We are here to help with your girl problems.